Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Chandogya Upanishad, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Recording from the ashram of our revered Guru, Pujya Atman Sri Swami Jyotirmayananda in Miami, Florida. And Swamiji continues the lecture series on the Upanishads. Tonight Swamiji will lecture on Chandogya Upanishad. And now Pujya Atman Sri Swami Jyotirmayananda.
Om Aapyayantu Mamangani Vak Prana Chakshu Shrotram Atho Balam Indriyani Cha Sarvani Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakurya Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakarnamast Anirakarnam Mehestu Tadatmani Nirteye Upanishadsu Dharma Te Mayi Santu Te Mayi Santu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Speech strength of Chandogya Upanishad, and I have explained that. We continue now forward in Chandogya Upanishad, chapter 1, section 1, mantra number 10. Tena ubhau kuruta yascha eta devam veda yascha na veda nana tu vidya cha avidya cha yadeva vidya karoti shaddhaya upanishada tadeva viryavattaram bhavatiti khalu etasya iva aksharasya vavyakhyanam bhavati. Just to give you reiteration, we are dealing with Om, subtle meaning and implications of the Vedic mantra, which is also known as Udgita. Udgita means loud song. Priests, whenever they conduct their ritual sacrifice, whatever ritual performance, they chant Om to begin with. All sacred activities commence with the chanting of Om. When you chant Om, it's driving away lots of negative vibrations. You don't see them. When the sun shines, you see darkness running in all directions. Some are tumbling on their neck. Some they are getting crushed. You have to have imagination. So when mind resonates with something positive, the negative within you begin to run away. Because the negative within you has no reality. You are all positive, whether you believe it or not. A reflected sun in a jar experiences so many sufferings. Every situation is brittle, transient, evanescent. But the reality of every reflected sun is the sun. As such, nothing happens. If you go deep into yourself, discover who am I, not by removing ordinary covering, but removing covering of illusion. Every soul is covered up by big blankets. There are three major blankets, the physical, the subtle, the causal. Each blanket has sub-blankets. Physical has food sheath, annamaya kosha. The subtle has three sheaths, vital, pranamaya kosha, mind and senses called manomaya kosha, intellect and ego, that's called vijnanamaya kosha. All these koshas, that's not kosha. They are layered. We are layered up. And the last one is called anandamaya kosha, the veil of the unconscious. Beyond all these veils, there is absolute self. Just like the reflected sun is in reality, the absolute sun. But if the reflected sun were to shake off its being in the jar, the first veil, shake off its distance between the earth and the sky, there are so many things to shake off. And then finally, shake off even the high altitudes, the great dimensions of the sky, shaking them all off, it realizes I am the sun. And who realizes it? Reflected sun. There's not any benefit to the sun. The sun has been always the same. Deep down, the essence in you is ever liberated. The question of finding liberation doesn't relate to the absolute self. This is the truth. It's the mind that has wandered away from truth. Therefore, it is mind to be enlightened. And remember, mind is not your brain and nervous system. Mind is the energy operating through the wirings of brain and nervous system. It's like electricity is not the same as wirings, not the same as bulbs. But this is the electricity behind all the brains. Similar is the divine self operating through all the minds. All this I'm describing more in an allegorical way. The mantra just now I have read, it means literal meaning. He who knows thus or does not know, both perform actions with it. We are referring to profound knowledge obtained by meditating on Om. First to understand, Om relates to the essence of the Vedas in a very simple way. All that you can speak is possible only by the use of your vocal mechanism with two terminals, throat and the lips. When you say Om, awe opens your throat and you can go on saying so many things but ends up with M, lips close. When you have said Om, you have said all. Therefore, major religions have chosen Om, Amen, Amin. They are all variations of the same root sound mantra. And it is this Om, when your mind were to understand it, what it really means, how all sounds emanate from Om, all sounds merge in Om, and Om melts in silence. And that's how the world is. The world is nothing but a lot of words, names and forms. Everything you can describe with some word. All words give you a sense of speaking something. All speeches emanate from Om. If you were to say all that is to be said in one magical instant, simply say Om. And thereby all things that your mind grasps from past, present and future, all concepts are expressed through words, and words are expressed through sound. And all sounds have been captured in Om. Therefore, when you have said Om, all that you are involved in, all that you experience has been implied. So it's a magic. How can you touch all by touching one? Say all by saying one thing. How can you collect all the rays of the sun in one point by just turning your attention from the all illuminations to the sun? You don't have to collect them. Once attention is directed to the sun, you have bundled up all the illuminations in a big pack, not for one day, but a million days, and all have been brought to the sun. Might have given you bigger imagination. In other words, Om points to that reality which transcends all concepts, all names and forms. Om is the essence of the scriptures. He who knows thus or does not know, now, Om can be of a help in two ways. Those who go into deep insight into Om, or those who remain not so profound, they turn to Om for ego-based expectations. Spiritual movement is adopted by people in two ways. People who want to do good karma, thereby improve their situation. And very few people who are not interested in improving their situation. building up their prosperity in the world. But they are interested in dissolving their very ego self, realizing I am Brahman. The first one is called pravritti. The second one is called nivritti. Majority of people turn to religion, turn to God for various benefits that their ego expects. But when you get deep into the study of scriptures, your mind turns to what is being indicated by Om. And what is being indicated by Om? Just as by catching Om, you have caught all worlds. By catching, knowing God, you have known all that is to be known. You finish the question, what is that? Knowing which all is known. And that's Brahman, the Absolute. And Om is pointing to that knowledge. When, with this, opening your heart to the knowledge of Om, if you become the worshipper of Om, you are being led to liberation. But if you do not have that high standard in your mind, you are worshipping Om, doing japa, meditating on it, or meditation is being practiced with the help of Om, all that is raising your mind. And as you move away from negative and turn to positive, when negative karmas drop and positive karmas develop, if you are very poor, you become rich. If you have been degraded and humiliated by people, you rise to fame and power and glory. You improve your situation amazingly. And not only in this life, but move on to another life and another life, better and better. That process is called pravritti. But you do not become liberated. Yet your mind develops a tremendous sense of attainment. How much have I accomplished? How much have I given in legacy to my generations to come? How great I built up Taj Mahal, the wonders of the world. Bravo! Underestimating all this. But remember, any attainment on this earth is birth, meaningless. Because the earth, planet itself, is transient. One day it will be blown away like a speck of dust. Whatever is performed with knowledge, now, focus of the Upanishads is to direct your attention to liberation, to follow the path of light, not the path of darkness. This we have brought out again and again. It is an allegorical description of two paths before everyone. Third path, they don't mention it, but there is third path also. Third path is a path of degradation, path of hell. That's unmentionable. But those who are following certain purpose in life in a positive way, they have two possibilities. One, path of light. Path of light means a movement that enables you to discover increasing spiritual potentiality within yourself. You shine in doing your actions. You develop karma yoga. Your intellect begins to develop viveka, increasing insight into what is real, what is not real. Your heart becomes purified increasingly. If you follow that movement, your consciousness expands until you attain the highest. The whole thing is described allegorically that we will come to another time. We have done it before. But if you are following the path of pravritti, you are being always led by smoke, dhumra. Then darkness of night, smoke of delusion. And in this process, your heart, instead of becoming magnanimous, it becomes clouded. You end up losing your discrimination and your positive insight about yourself, and stay enjoying the result of good karma in a paralyzed manner. That's called heaven. I'm not talking heaven, the heaven of the Christians, we call a relative heaven, Swarga, the ideal before you. If you allow your life to flow in pursuit of knowledge, who am I? Intuitional revelation of the self, faith. Allow the faith within you to be awakened. You remember in Raja Yoga, Shraddha, faith is in every heart, dormant. If you follow a spiritual movement, faith gets awakened and you discover you have amazing strength, a strength that cannot be explained in the terms of vitamins or physical form of energy, but a type of energy that allows you to be good, not to be shaken by insults and injuries, that allows to be persistent, patient in the midst of adversities, faith that allows you to pursue the path with, in spite of all the challenges, and you go on discovering amazing strength emanating from your heart, that faith. So whatever you do with knowledge, with faith, and devout meditation, if you do that with Om as your banner, all that becomes potent. That means if your goal is liberation, self-realization, God-realization, if your goal is that, then whatever you develop as knowledge, your faith within you, and all your mystical enrichment becomes immense. This is the explanation of Om in brief. Remember, I'm doing highlights, so I'm not following every mantra.